until we decide to reclaim our lives, they will continue to disappear the truth for future generations, if for no other reason but for our allegiance to that truth. Even if we haven't yet formed our allegiance to our own body, we should begin to form the resolve to design the alternative. Chapter 34. The Sonderkommando 13th in the history of the crematoriums had thus been annihilated. Now our days slipped by in utter silence and boredom. At loose ends, we wandered among the cold, forbidding walls. The ringing of my footsteps and the silence was painful to my ears. We were given no orders, had nothing to do. At night, we lay in bed, unable to sleep. Only 4 of us were left in the building. The 30 men who worked in the crematorium were not members of the Sonderkommando, but were quartered in the KZ itself, and came here every day only to burn the bodies of those who had died in the hospital. Silent, introspective, prostrate with grief, we awaited our end. It was a bad sign that Oberscharführer Musfeld, as if he had become a different person, studiously avoided meeting us. Perhaps he felt that he had finished playing his role. The bloody tragedy was over, and soon it would be time for the fate that governs the bearers of forbidden secrets to strike him as well. For days at a time, he remained locked in his room, drinking, with an apparently unquenchable thirst to forget both the past and the darkly looming future. One day, Dr. Mengele arrived unexpectedly and came looking for us in our room, since he guessed we would not be in the dissecting room now that business was slow. He announced that orders from above had been received, that the Auschwitz KZ would be completely destroyed. No, in the present instance, he was not referring to its inhabitants, but to the institution itself. 2 of the crematoriums would be demolished. The 3rd would serve temporarily for the cremation of the hospital's dead. The dissecting room and we, along with it, would be transferred to number 4, which would continue in operation. Numbers 1 and 2 would be destroyed at once. Number 3, of course, had been completely demolished during the October revolt. It was both an historic and happy moment when the following morning a commando of prisoners arrived in the courtyard and split up into 2 groups, began the demolition of the buildings. Seeing the red brick walls tumble one after the other under the effect of the dynamite blasts, I had a presentiment of the Third Reich's own destruction. Jews had built it. Jews were tearing it down. Never had any KZ prisoners worked with an intensity such as I saw on the faces of those men, whose expressions reflected the hope of a better life to come. In the dissecting room, everything movable was packed. As for the dissection table, only the marble slabs were dismantled and replaced by concrete supports. The moving was finished in a few hours, and we spent the night in number 4. After arranging the equipment and setting up the table, placing the pedestals and cups in position, the dissecting room was once again ready to function. For 10 days, nothing happened. Our indolent life continued. More and more often, our SS guards sought refuge in drunkenness. It was rare that they had their wits about them for more than a few minutes a day.